We're going to take up a very, very intriguing text. And it's a very challenging text about the glory of God. But this one is taken from the book of Ezekiel. It's not a book that many people will read or even try to understand. But hidden inside it are many, many things that we're going to discover along the way. So I'm hoping that we will be challenged to discover the idea of the glory of God, but this time from the writings of Ezekiel. I think that is going to help us quite a bit to appreciate it a little bit more. Okay, well, let's pray together first. Our Father, we pray that you will teach us how to look at this whole idea, this concept, the doctrine of your glory. And I pray that you will teach us how we can draw encouragement, enlightenment as we read your word. Help us to find this all over again so that it is so real in our life. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take a look at the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. If you will turn to it first. And then also look at another book, 2 Kings 24. In fact, if you want to read the prophetic books, you really need to understand the Old Testament historical books. Because, the prophets can never be fully understood outside the historical books. Well, let's take a look at this. First, look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, right? And, we mentioned, look at verse 2, and we look at a man who's called King Jehoiakim. I know he looked like Chin. That is not a relative of John. It's just that the Hebrew doesn't have a ch sound. It always has a K sound. So this is Jehoiakim at captivity. Now, so we have to ask ourselves, what is this all about? So we need to look at 2 Kings 24, and then we take a look at who this king really is. Right? So let's take a look at 2 Kings 24. Now, this chapter is one of the saddest chapters to read. We have King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. So he came and he took a man, and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. And so it was now ruled by Babylon. So Jehoiakim was only a king, but he was a vassal king, essentially. Right? So that's what it is. Then we read in verse 6, Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his place. He didn't live, he didn't rule for too long. Okay, so 3 years, and that was it. He was going to, his life was going to be over. And then Jehoiakim came in. That's Ezekiel 1. So the king of Egypt didn't come out of his land to help him anymore, because the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt. Now, Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. That's it. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem. And then Jehoiakim, his mother, his servant, his princes, his officers, and all of them, they were taken prisoner, and they were carried with all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house were all cut in pieces, and all were in captivity. Verse 15, he carried Jehoiakim captive to Babylon. This is what we are looking at behind Ezekiel chapter 1. What happened to the whole nation that they became captive? Now that is a sad reality, right? When they entered into Israel, it was a glorious time. They conquered the whole land. In his highest moment, the temple was erected, King Solomon reigned, and there was peace in his reign for longest time. And then things began to unravel. And so the glory that was a part of Israel was now no more. See, many, many were the manifestations of the God of the Lord's glory. Manifestation does not necessarily produce the desired result. Those opportunities we call wasted. And that is a sad reality. To be a king, to have a kingdom, to have the temple, to have a lot of history behind the nation, and essentially that was completely wasted. And so the glory of God manifested was wasted on Israel, on Judah, on the kings, and on the people generally speaking. And thus we see the glory of God is wasted. You know, when we look at all the things that in the world that reflect the glory of God, if we don't know how to appreciate them, they're wasted. Really, completely wasted. That is the problem. However, it does not mean that the glory of God is not there anymore. It is just that God will not waste his time to go and reveal that glory when we don't know how to appreciate that glory. But was the glory actually diminished in any way? No. Israel associated the glory of God in Jerusalem, in Judah, in the country, in the people. What happened if all that disappeared? Because they were now all captives, slaves, refugees, impoverished. Where may the glory of God be seen again? And this is where Ezekiel chapter 1 reveals to us what that glory of God is. Now let's take a look in chapter 1 now. Even if Israel did not appreciate God, God is still real. Even if they did not look up to the heavens anymore, the heavens can still open. Now, this is what we are seeing in chapter 1 at verse 1. And this is how Ezekiel appreciated the glory of God when Israel did not. How do you see Ezekiel appreciating that which was now revealed to him? Take a look. Then we read this. And it came to pass in the 30th year. That was the age of Ezekiel. He remembered when it happened. It was on his 30th year. Second, he even recorded the fourth month on the fifth day of the month. That's how you treasure things like that. That was why it was different from the rest of Israel. He remembered on this day, at this time, in my 30th year, nothing was forgotten. That was the heart and the spirit of Ezekiel. And this was God's desire and delight to show him his glory. No point showing to people glory when they don't know how to appreciate it. But to those who will, faithful in little, faithful in much, this glory of God was revealed. What is that glory? Let's take a look. Okay, now we see this. One, the heavens were open. Very rarely you see this. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was baptized, the heavens were open. This, you catch a glimpse of the visions of God. So just to catch a vision of it all, what is it all about? Now, what are these things here? Now, there are a few things that you want to take note of. First, look at verse 5, and you see the word appearance, right? Then you look at verse 13, then you see the word appearance also. Verse 14, appearance. Verse 16, appearance. Can you see this? And then you take a look at this idea here. Verse 26, appearance. Verse 27, appearance. Verse 28, appearance. The glory of God appears first. So you can actually see. But this is only external. We begin with the external. Can we see the glory of it all? Because if we don't even begin with the external, there's nothing there. There is something deeper than that. So, you see, the external features of God's glory was given to Israel again and again and again. Right? The pillar of cloud in the days of Moses, the pillar of fire in his time, right? The provision of manna, the way God saved Israel out of numerous things. These were appearances. These were external things. What were the external things? Let's take a look. Verse 13. Appearance, burning coals of fire, torches, fire, essentially. Verse 14, lightning. If you take a look at these descriptions, you will see that these are the descriptions found in Exodus chapter 19. Same. So you need to take a look at appearance all the time. Right? And this is something that we don't want to do. You see, being human beings, we often see things from appearance. We appreciate things on the basis of appearance. Food has got to appear nice, not only taste nice. It has to appear nice. Then you can charge a bit more. That's how it is. So you want to see display, appearance. Right? So when a person likes another person, first appearance. That's normal. But now you must go beyond appearance. What's the next word? Watch this very carefully. Right? So we begin to understand at verse 12. So he saw visions of angels. That it wasn't angels that he saw alone. He understood something. Verse 12, the Spirit, wherever the Spirit wanted to go. Right? Now we go on further. In verse 20, wherever the Spirit wanted to go, the spirit of the living creatures was in the fields, and the spirit of it all was what he saw. So he went from the external, the appearance, to something deeper. So when a person only has an appearance outside, you don't know where the person is going. We just sang a song, written by a man called Isaac Watts. Now, Isaac Watts was actually a brilliant writer. One day he was worshiping in church, and he grumbled to his father, "Why are we singing all those old hymns? They are so dull, they are so dead, and there's so many verses." In the early days, sometimes a hymn can have 8 verses. So you just sing and sing and sing and sing. So his father said, "Look, if you're not happy with it, why don't you write your own hymns?" And he was inspired. And his hymns are very famous. Short verses. Always short. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines, that's it. Constantly. Short verses, but powerful. But Isaac Watts was not a person that look very good on appearance, unfortunately. Right? So he was a little bit not tall, quite short, very homely, not handsome, homely. Look up dictionary for the word homely. Not very nice word. And one day, a beautiful girl wrote to him and said to him, "You know, I want to meet with you. Your hymns, your poetry, your writing." This man was brilliant. In fact, one of his books became a textbook for Oxford University. Brilliant, right? So the girl met up with him and her face fell. She couldn't go beyond the appearance, could not see his spirit. And so it was a visit that lasted less than one day. She never came back. And his heart was broken. Finally, he found somebody who loved him. And then this person could not go beyond the physical appearance and could not see his spirit. And Isaac Watts never married. Not because he loved that girl, but because, you know, the chances of rejection very high. So he devoted his life energy, his spirit to writing hymns, which we sing today. So we have that girl to thank. So this young lady turned his heart away from all these physical things and he began to understand, to develop his spirit behind the appearance of God's glory. There is something deeper. Behind the angels of God, there was someone greater. Sometimes people are caught up with angels. During Christmas time, I like to read stories of Christmas, and I came across this beautiful story. I can't make sense out of it. This was a young lady who wrote, and she said, "My sister and I were so close. And we went shopping together. We chatted on the phone for hours every day, especially Christmas. We went out always together to get things for our families. And then one day, my sister died. And I couldn't get out of it. My spirit was just crushed. I couldn't get out of it. And so for months, at Christmas time came nearby, and she was so upset. She just couldn't celebrate. She couldn't do anything. And one day, she said she volunteered to look for a job, and she was a part-time job, just to fill the hours, while the hours were away. She went to a place there, and there she was. Right? And she was in the back room. Her part was to make wreaths, create wreaths for presents, and put them on display. And people would buy. She's very, very gifted, very creative there. Created wreaths for all kinds. Put bears there and put fruits there and put presents there. The beautiful displays. But she was in the back room. Hardly anybody would come and see her. And she was very fighting with feelings of depression. She couldn't get out. Her spirit was so dry and so sad all the time. And then one day, a tall older man came along to him and looked at her and said, "Well, how are you doing? How are you keeping? Are you having fun? Are you happy?" And she said, "Actually, I am. I really enjoy this thing here." And the man, and so she asked him, "But how are you?" The man didn't answer, smiled, and then she went back to her work. And she would talk, "Maybe I ought to talk to him some more." And the man disappeared. It couldn't make sense. Who is this person? Well-dressed, older person, smiling, the face just filled with joy. She went back to her work. A few days later, same back room, her displays were selling well. She was now happier. Now she began to realize that, you know, she shouldn't be so upset with the passing of the sister. Then another person came. This time was a well-dressed lady. And she came up, smiled at her, and how are you doing? How are you keeping? Are you happy? And this time she smiled, looked up, and the lady didn't say anything further, just smiled at her, and then she was going to talk to her, and she suddenly disappeared. She went to a whole store looking for this man or this woman. Couldn't find them. And then she wrote, and she said, you know, I really think that God sent some people to cheer me up when I was at the lowest points of my life. I never found out who they are, and I really think that they were angels sent to me. And she came out of her sadness, came out of that crestfallen spirit. Beyond the angels. Look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Beyond the angels. Take a look in verse 27. Right? We take a look at it. There was the appearance, was far greater. And then verse 27, verse 28, appearance of a rainbow like in a cloud on a rainy day, appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Behind all these things, you see the glory of the Lord. You see, we don't want to waste opportunities that are given to us. There are so many opportunities for us to see, to understand, and appreciate the glory of God. Problem is, what happens if we waste them? And so Israel wasted it. For the next 70 years, they will not see the glory of God manifested, except to some. To whom will God reveal His glory? People like Ezekiel. There is a meaning, there's a reason, or there are reasons behind what God does. What are some of those reasons we want to think about, and they are important to us? Take a look. Chapter 1. What was it really? Verse 3. God wants to communicate beyond glory His word. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest. So sometimes we only see the external, we see the superficial, we see the things which are obvious. Behind those visions, those appearances, there is the word of God that must speak to our hearts expressly. If we miss that, then we are going to see another wasted opportunity. Now, move on further. Take a look at this, right? At verse 3, the hand of the Lord was upon him there. So the external would be the appearance. The external would be the angelic vision. These were all appearances. What is beneath all those things? It was the word of God that God was trying to communicate to him. Listen, go beyond all this. I am bringing a word to you, a message to you. Are you hearing? Do you understand? Now, go on further. The hand of the Lord was there. That's how God helps him to understand. I am here with you. I think this is absolutely important. Here's another Christmas story that moved my heart very, very much. And this was in the 1970s. And there was this lady, her husband was actually quite weak. He says in the 1970s, people don't know how to diagnose heart attacks as easily. So they had a brother-in-law who was a medical doctor, came to their house and told the sister-in-law, your husband is having a heart attack. He's got to go to hospital now. So they rushed him to hospital. The doctors came up with very grim news and said, please prepare I don't think your husband will make it through the night. And she went back home. She didn't know what to do. Gathered the family together and a four-year-old little girl. They had a few children. And they told, their friends came, they heard about it. The church friends came, people prayed. And, you know, people talk about it's the will of God, you know, let's trust God. This little girl said, "Mommy, I'm going to pray." And this is what she said. "Dear God, please make my daddy do really well. Please give him back to us. Thank you. Amen." I was moved to tears. And so the mother wrote, "I understood prayer in a way I never understood before, a prayer of my four-year-old little girl." And so she waited. Next day, and when he was still alive, when was this testimony written? 40 years later, the husband was still alive. What do we see? Only the external? Or do we see the hand of the Lord there? See, if only we can see beyond the external, beyond the appearance, to the spirit of it all, to the hand of the Lord, to the word of the Lord, you will see the glory of God even more. I keep on asking myself all the time, how can we make Christmas a little bit different? And so this year, we're going to have our church poets write and lead in the Christmas caroling worship. So it's going to be a very poetic Christmas. I don't know how it will turn out, because all of them are struggling with the poem they're trying to come up with. I've written back, nope. Rhythm back, nope. Could you think again? Nope. Could you think again, please? So it will be your surprise and my surprise how you will all turn out. But I want to see beyond all these things here. What is it I'm looking for? Something fresh, something different, something wonderful. Same thing, and I ask myself again and again, you know, who's going to lead at Christmas worship at Shangri-La? And you think about it, you pray about it, and whom should we have to lead in worship? It might surprise you who will be asked to lead in worship. I will be writing to the people who are going to lead in the Christmas worship, thinking, praying about it. Do something fresh so that we can see beyond the external, beyond the mechanical, beyond the songs, into the spirit of it all, into the hand of the Lord. That is what we must look for. And then we can understand the glory of the Lord. The glory of God is not diminished. It is not taken away. It is just not revealed. But if the person has the heart and spirit of Ezekiel, who will take the time to remember, on this day, on my 30th year, look at these things, and these descriptions are in fourth month, fifth day, that precise. He never forgot that appearance of the glory of God. And most of us have a general, vague idea. We don't know how to appreciate these things here, unfortunately. Right? When I go on further, and then we see in chapter 1, verse 28, the last part of the verse 28, "When I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking." That is how God wants to speak to us. He has a word for us. His hand is on us. He wants us to hear Him speak to us. And if you can catch this, you will understand the glory of the Lord. So every time I read, look at the poems that come to me every week, I don't look at words only. I always try and catch that spirit behind the writer. Beyond the human spirit, what is God's spirit? What is God's hand there leading, guiding, helping? And there, I always catch a glimpse of the glory of the Lord. May you find the same thing here this Christmas. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy and the challenge to discover, rediscover the glory that is truly there to be seen. Forgive us when all those opportunities to see, to understand, are wasted. We pray that you would teach us how we can see things in a fresh new way, to understand afresh what that glory is, beyond the appearance, to your word, to your hand, to your voice speaking to our hearts. May our hearts be deeply moved always. We pray that you will give to us that heart and mind and spirit of old Ezekiel the prophet. We pray that you will teach us how we can treasure every word that comes forth to us. We pray for your blessings on all who would, of their hearts, give a willing offering to you. We pray, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.